And last but certainly not least, and she promises she likewise is a quick speaker, is Kristen Wenrick. And Kristen's going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the Bethlehem Health Department with their tobacco program. This is her background, but she's been working now a bit as the quality improvement coordinator for that health department for the last 3 years. She's been with the Bethlehem Health Department now for 11 years. Kristen, can you?
Good morning. I'm going to talk today about how a local health department incorporated quality improvement into its daily operations and give you some examples of some successful quality improvement initiatives that we've implemented. No relationships to disclose. I'll first start out by talking about what continuous quality improvement is. This is our definition for what continuous quality improvement is all about. It's really about changing and improving existing work processes and services and making them better. Working with people to unleash the potential inside of them to make things better. It's really about going to the people that are doing the work and having them have input onto how to make things improved. And doing these things at a rate greater than ever before. It's really looking at where we're at now and what we can do to improve things. And it's really not just about today. We're really trying to create an environment where each individual is an agent of change. So why, as a local health department, should we engage in quality improvement? It's about creating stronger programs and services, which ultimately will enable local, state, territorial, and tribal health departments to better protect, promote, and preserve the health in the communities they serve. And additionally, a lot of health departments right now across the nation are engaging in beta testing of accreditation standards. So along with that, health departments can utilize quality improvement as a means of improving performance to meet those accreditation standards in the future. Some of our ingredients for success, first and foremost, we were really fortunate to have a local Fortune 500 company in our area who partnered with our organization. Our mayor started this initiative about 3 years ago, and this local company agreed, they've been doing quality improvement for many, many years, and they agreed to train our staff free of charge. So that was obviously one of the key components to getting this program off the ground. We have support from our leadership to drive the initiative. Like I stated, the mayor really was the first to get on board with this initiative about 3 years ago, and our health director as well has been very involved with driving this. The accountability piece is also really critical because you can have a team of individuals sit in a room and come up with a plan on how to improve a process or improve a service, but if you walk out of that room and you don't have anybody holding individuals accountable, things can definitely falter. We also have a dedicated staff person, myself, who represents the health department, and I'm trained in a variety of tools to facilitate quality improvement events. We have our employees who are involved, engaged, teamed, and capable. All of our employees at the health department have been through quality improvement training. They've all participated in at least one quality improvement initiative as well. People are a little ambivalent at first about quality improvement. They don't quite know what it's about. Some people have the misconception that, we're going to cut down the workforce or we're going to sit with stopwatches and time, how long it takes you to enter data into a computer. So people were a little resistant at first to quality improvement. But once they saw that the results were visible and once they saw how we can improve the work that they do, the buy-in was definitely there from our staff. Lastly, we have a list of target areas for improvement that we identify every year, and that comes from across the board at the health department, from the managers to the people who are doing outreach to the people who are doing education. We all have a say in the areas that we are going to target for quality improvement. This slide here just provides a summary of what really we look to do in any work process. We want to eliminate forms of waste in our current work processes, and basically we want to have what's defined as value, activities the community is willing to pay for, it changes the product, service, and information, and it's done right the first time. So we want to ensure that all the services that we're providing are of value. The right-hand column, I won't go into detail about all those forms of waste, but basically when we look at a work process, we want to eliminate, if there's any of those forms that exist, we want to work to eliminate or reduce those forms of waste. Some of the tools that we use, I know Colleen touched upon one of them. Root cause analysis is probably the most common tool that we use. And all these tools listed here are reliable methods that we use that create results. First being root cause analysis, this is a problem-solving technique that we use to frame a problem. You identify the issues associated with that problem and determine what really are the root causes. I like to compare it to like my four-year-old daughter when I tell her, a statement and she says, why, and they keep asking why. That's really what you're doing with root cause analysis. You're looking at that problem and you're continuing to ask why. As a team, you work to brainstorm solutions, implement those solutions, and track progress. The second tool that we use frequently in the health department is something called mapping, and this is graphically displaying the steps in a work process. Step by step, you display each step of that process, all the individuals that are involved in that process, and you analyze the work process for waste, eliminate the waste, and then remap the process and create a future state. Process Kaizen is another tool that we use. This is used a lot in private industry. This is a focused, high-energy, team-based approach for eliminating waste, and it embodies several quality improvement tools. We also use something called mistake proofing, and this is to minimize human error. An example of this would be like in an Excel spreadsheet, if you have locks and limits in that spreadsheet, or you have formulas that will automatically do calculations, this would minimize human error. 5S is also a tool that we use. Sometimes at the heart of what's going wrong really is lack of organization in a workspace. So 5S is a tool that really can make an efficient arrangement of the workplace. It can be from anywhere from a disorganized filing cabinet where you can't find your files to an actual office layout. We're currently in the process of remapping out our office layout to make things more efficient for our clients. I'm going to go into a little bit of detail about some of the quality improvement events that we've implemented. I'll talk a little bit about some before and afters, and then I'm going to go into some more detail about our data collection quality improvement initiative that we did. That was actually a grant that was funded through NACHO. The very first event that we did, and I call it an event, basically an event is a team of individuals gathering together. We can be together anywhere from a half a day to an entire week. And it's really working together to improve a work process or improve a service. This was identified, our food permitting process event was identified because it was taking a very long time to issue permits to our restaurant owners. They were very unhappy with the process. It was disorganized. They weren't quite sure what departments they needed to go to. There was no formal process established. So we created a team of individuals that were involved from various departments within the city, and we sat down and we looked at the current process. We mapped out step by step what currently happens when issuing a permit to a food establishment. What happened was the people that were in the room that were part of the team, they were confused about the process, and they didn't quite know the different roles and responsibilities of the various departments. So we felt, if we're confused here in the room, how confusing is that for a restaurant owner coming in and trying to obtain a permit? So we developed a formal process, we mapped out the current or the future state, got rid of any waste that existed in the process, clearly defined roles and responsibilities. We have a tracking system online that now you can go on, so if a permit's in the health department, somebody from engineering can go on and see that the permit's sitting in the health department, it's waiting for approval, or it has been approved. So communication definitely improved through this process, and we ended up reducing our cycle time down to 14 days. We're still meeting as a team on a regular basis because we believe that we can reduce that down even further. The next event I'll touch upon is our public health emergency call center. We have an agreement with a local university that we can use their facilities in case of a public health emergency, that we can operate a call center out of the facility. We had our equipment up there, but again, we had no standard operating procedures, no process for what we would do if we needed to actually activate the call center. Again, we compiled a team of individuals, we sat down and we mapped out all the roles and responsibilities and all the steps that we would take from the very beginning of how we would activate the call center, how we would call out our staff, how we would physically set up the call center, how we would operate it, and again, how we would shut it down. So the standard operating procedures were created, we created job aids for our staff, we created training packets for our staff, and we recently had a drill to actually pilot this process to make sure that it worked in the event of a real life emergency. We had community members and community partners call into the call center, and we refined the process based on the recommendations from our staff and from the community members. Data collection was another event. Like I stated, we received funding through an HO grant to look at our data collection process. Really, we didn't have a consistent process throughout our program areas, and after that grant, project, we have a better coordinated system that can better meet the needs of the community. And the next few slides will go into a little bit more detail about that data collection. The next event that I'll talk about is an event that we focused on with our environmental department. The environmental director had approached me because a lot of their court cases were being dismissed. They write citations for things such as garbage and weeds, and 60% of their court cases were being dismissed due to lack of information. The environmental sanitarians that were presenting in court just weren't prepared. So we created a process, we created a new file system and a checklist for them prior to going into court. We eliminated unnecessary handoffs, and we ended up increasing our court wins so far for the year by 25% in one district. And the last event I'll touch upon is we did a root cause analysis looking at a reduction in grant funds. Like everybody here probably sitting in the room, we've received a significant reduction in our grant funds over the past few years, the main culprit being the economy. But we wanted to dig a little bit deeper to see if there was anything else that was going on that could improve our chances of increasing our grant awards. What we did was we looked, aside from the economy, looked internally what we could do, and we found that we weren't taking advantage of our peers in the health department. So now we instituted a peer review of our grants prior to having them sent out to the funders. We also weren't taking advantage of either conference calls or face-to-face meetings with the funders. If our grant was rejected, we never followed up to find out why was it rejected, what were the deficiencies, and what could we be doing better. That's something that now is mandatory, and then from there we need to create a lessons learned, so then we can pass that on to our colleagues so we can learn from past experiences and improve our chances the next time around. Now to go into a little bit more detail about our data collection event. Several health departments across the country last year participated in a self-assessment to determine areas of weakness within their health department. We identified data collection as a target area for improvement. We interviewed all of our staff from the various program areas. We conducted an assessment with them to identify specifically what our weaknesses were in regard to data collection. And overall, we identified 19 issues that we wanted to look at a little bit more in detail. We conducted a root cause analysis after we prioritized those 19 issues. And the root cause analysis was conducted on the following issues. We had some data that was being collected manually, and I'm embarrassed to say that it was just shoved into a filing cabinet and never entered into a database. We were entering the same data into multiple databases. We weren't doing a good job of sharing our data with other program areas. We weren't analyzing our data on a regular basis. It was basically either at the end of the year or if a report was due to a funder. Roles and responsibilities in the various program areas regarding data collection were unclear, and it was clear that staff needed more training on Excel, Access, and SPSS. After we looked into the root cause analysis, we developed a process for data collection during a 3-day mapping event. After the event, we piloted our new process in 4 program areas. We modified the process based on that pilot, rolled the process out department-wide, and as with all continuous improvement activities, we are constantly refining that process. Some of the results from the data collection event, we created a reliable process for data collection that's in active use for all of our program areas. Not all program areas were piloting their survey or assessment tools prior to distributing them widespread into the community. So we wanted to make sure that all areas were piloting their assessment tools prior to distribution. We have a training plan that was created for staff for training in SPSS and Excel. Unfortunately, our epidemiologist position was cut several years ago, so we don't have an epidemiologist, but we do have somebody with expertise in statistics and data collection, so they are now serving as our point person. All of our data, happily, is now entered into a database. We're collecting data from a computer whenever possible, directly into the computer. We now have data sharing between program areas, and there was also, we found, variability between the demographic data that the different program areas were asking on survey and assessment tools, so we standardized that within all of our program areas. And as you can see from this list, I mean, it's nothing that's, you know, that earth-shattering or rocket science. It really was a matter of people get involved in their day-to-day tasks, and they really don't take the time to sit down and think about what they need to do. So this event actually gave us the opportunity to get a team of individuals in a room and really look at what the different program areas were doing and really standardize things across the board. Just from our pilot test results, we looked at those 19 issues that were originally identified as weaknesses, and we wanted to see if the process was going to resolve the issue or improve the issue. 12 of the issues, the process resolved. 6 of the issues, the process improved the issues. And only one, we found that the process would not be able to resolve the issue, and that was actually dealing with entering the same data into multiple databases. Unfortunately, we're required from our State Department of Health to enter some data into their databases, and we were having issues extracting that data out locally, so I think in 2 program areas we still need to do dual entry with the same data. So to talk a little bit about the future of quality improvement in the health department, this initiative is now included in our yearly program plans. We need to submit program plans to our State Department of Health on a yearly basis, so now we include quality improvement as a section. Each program area must identify at least one quality improvement goal annually. There's a staff person dedicated to this initiative in the health department. Every staff member is engaged in the process. They're all going through training. We're now in the process of actually training people on specific quality improvement tools, and we get them engaged in events as necessary. And we're hopefully going to be preparing for accreditation in the near future. And just to close, just as Colleen said, just to dovetail on that, really, I mean, efficiency and government typically don't go hand in hand. So I think quality improvement provides the opportunity to really change that image for government and government entities, and really provides the opportunity to improve services for the communities that we serve. Thank you. I do all the facilitation of the events. I've been the person that, you know, like in most things, I was told, you know, well, you're going to continue managing the tobacco and HIV programs, but you're also going to take this role on as well. So I'm the point person. I facilitate the events, but as a team, the health department, the managers, and the staff, they work together to identify the areas that I'm going to be going into and helping them. I help them facilitate the process.
So what does your health director do or your managers do? I mean, to have a quality improvement process missing fused in a health department? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what do you think they do culturally to promote this within their health department?
Well, the main thing, our health director definitely holds people accountable. You know, once we have a process in place, she makes sure that, and as well as the managers, they really need to make sure that their staff, like for the data collection process, there were some program areas that weren't really implementing the steps that we had designed. So it really is the managers need to hold their staff accountable. We also have report out sessions. The health director has mandatory report out sessions. Anytime we do a quality improvement event, even for the staff that aren't involved, they need to sit and learn about what's happening in the different program areas. We have weekly managers meetings, and it's on the agenda at every managers meeting that we need to talk about quality improvement and what's happening. And the mayor has been supportive too. I can't say for all across the city, there's certain departments that are gung-ho, and the health department is definitely one that I think has really taken this ball and run with it, because a lot of quality improvement really aligns with what we do in public health, where some of the other departments have been a little bit more resistant. Our health department's 35 people, so we're a smaller health department.
No, but it's a good size 35 people.
I think it's fascinating that each Fortune 500 company provides training from the beginning.
Yes. Yes. Yes, they've actually, they provided us a small grant, and they actually have provided some staff to mentor us along, because this was something that was totally new to us. So they actually sat there working with us to get certified in the tools that, like, I've gone through the root cause analysis training and the mapping training. So they're working with us to actually obtain certification, and eventually get to, like, Six Sigma and Black Belt certification.
And you're obviously not naming them for a reason. That's all good. But,
no, I can name them. That's fine.
Like, are they health-related, or is that?
It's actually Air Products. They're a chemical company, gas and chemicals. They're located in Trexler Town.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Hand in the city of Yamhill.
Yes.
It's my understanding that Lehigh and Northampton County are going to join forces as far as in the public health realm. How is that going to affect the QI, everything you've worked for, basically? Do they have the same type of system set up?
Well, we do work closely. I'm from the Bethlehem Health Bureau. Our neighboring health department is the Allentown Health Bureau. They're from the city of Allentown. And there is some discussions right now about us merging into a regional health department. The main thing right now we're waiting for is just the funding and working out the budget numbers. But they are talking about as early as the summer of 2010 that we would possibly merge together. And that's something that actually our health director is fighting for, that we need a quality improvement position in that health department. And she actually brought that up at the board meeting last night, that really with the accreditation that's coming down the line, looking at the Healthy People 2020 objectives, the draft objectives, quality improvement is definitely out in the forefront now, and we're going to try to fight to keep somebody that really is going to facilitate that process if the new health department comes to fruition.
In the back.
Hi.
Hi.
I stole my stuff from right in the middle of your presentation.
I didn't notice.
Oh, good. We do a lot of program-specific QI, as it seems like you do too, but we have a problem incorporating it department-wide. Our staff and our leadership, one of them, is very much supportive of it. However, how do you pick what your QI events are? Are they based on what your manager sets as the QI goal for the year, or is it just stuff that comes up? That's what we do. A problem comes up, so it's QI, but it seems like there should be a more systematic
We use data really to drive it, you know, look at where our data is. Like, for example, with the permitting process, we had data to show that the cycle time was 41 days, and we thought, you know, that's not acceptable. Through our customer satisfaction surveys, we were getting complaints about the process. So using data and using a team-based approach, each program area as a team, they decide what they want to focus on for that year. So it's not just coming from the managers. We really want to get to the people that are doing the work. They're in the trenches doing it day in and day out, and they have sometimes the best suggestions for how to improve work or services.
Does the administration team review the data every month or something?
Yeah. Now with the data collection process that was in place, because that was something that was difficult to even target areas because we weren't looking at our data frequently. So now that point person on a monthly basis, they need to pull you know, certain areas to look at. And like I said, every week as a manager, as the managers meet, that's on the agenda and up for discussion.
It's kind of a question, maybe a comment on what the question was just asked. One of the speakers that we had for our project, who was just changed a lot of my perspective on things, was a woman from Rockville, Maryland. And what they had developed for the city was customer service standards. And it just addresses everything about what they do so it doesn't become project specific, but rather this is how we interact with people when they call. Mm-hmm. This is the type of voice message we leave on our voicemail. This is how the timeline we have to respond to your email. And it was a guaranteed sort of level of service, a certain standard, that even though it wasn't project specific, it was in everything you did. And so that's just kind of a different way of looking at quality improvement, I think. And we've incorporated that in the department that I work with. So maybe that's a way to get it diffusive and not be so hung up on projects, per se. And those come later.
And I think, like you stated earlier, really taking from private industry has definitely helped us because we're not focused on profits, you know, and it's just taking their mentality and incorporating it into what we do has really changed our thought process as well.
Do you have civil service titles in your health department, and does that have any...
Yes, a few positions are civil service. We have a few union positions, and sometimes union definitely, you know, is an impediment to what we're trying to do, you know, if we're trying to change some of the work that they're doing to make a process... you know, improved. We have had some union issues.
How did you get past it?
We've had the support. We actually have the union president. He's actually on the overall city quality improvement team. So we've definitely had, you know, him as a key person to try to mediate. But we have stepped back, the city actually, because we have very few union positions in our health department, but the city has had a step back from some quality improvement events because they didn't want to touch the union issue.
Other questions? Let me summarize here what some things that I think Kristen's bringing up that I think are really important. One is a four-year-old can do quality improvement.
Yes.
I think that's significant. Also, one of the things that I'm most astonished by is the culture change that took place. You've been doing this for 3 years.
Yes.
You know, that's phenomenal. The Multi-State Learning Collaborative has been around for a while, and watching health departments get as far as you have has taken, generally speaking, considerably longer than that. So congratulations there. The other thing that I would emphasize here is we've been talking about quality improvement as a broad brush sort of area. I would like to subcategorize into two kinds of things. Consuma presented a lot of data about programmatic quality improvement. And so specific programs, often clinical, where quality improvement activities are taking place. I think Kristen presented that, but also the overarching quality improvement, frequently called Big QI in the industry, that says there's a quality improvement enterprise-wide. It's agended at meetings of management and others, so that you never really lose perspective of what the organization's trying to attain. I'm very impressed with how you all have implemented both sort of types of QI. We're almost out of time, but what I'd like to do is turn it back. Well, first of all, let's thank Kristen for her presentation. But now maybe a chance, are there some things that came out during the session or questions that you might have for all four presenters, who I think just did a fantastic job. And the best part was I had to do nothing.
Great.
But anything that's sort of stuck out for you or impressions that you have from the whole thing, comments from those of you sitting out there, because you guys are really, you paid attention the entire time. It's 8:30 in the morning when we start. Nothing else? Well, then, would you thank all our presenters again for their time?